Mi gente, you already know who it is. It's the Radioactive Pop with Danny Limelight, United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion. And make sure you tune into the Alliance Blog every week. You heard it here first. Straight from Poppy.
Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408, and you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up, and it's free. By using my invite code JASON75338, that's JASON75338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first fill-up. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON75338 and make money by using the Upside app. Tyrus, who some people only know as the political correspondent on Gutfeld, he is a social commentator. What's the correct verbiage on that one? And he wrestled his last match on Sunday, having lost to Ethan Carter III. And we have a new NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Give it up for EC3. The fans chanting, "Thank you, Tyrus," is actually funny. You know what it is, Kenta, is that we were in a very much a red state. We were in St. Louis, Missouri, middle of America. And there were quite a large number of Tyrus fans there. In fact, there might have been more Tyrus fans than non-Tyrus fans. And it was weird sitting in the audience as somebody who is not a big Tyrus fan, not necessarily of his politics. I mean, his politics are shit too. Don't get me wrong. But the fans in St. Louis, Missouri were chanting for Tyrus. And, you know, his kids were out, and, you know, like, I think some people were being respectful because this was his retirement. You know, they didn't want to be, I don't think anyone wanted to be an asshole. You know, I don't think anyone was purposely trying to be mean or rude. But Tyrus, certainly his politics can be divisive, and I feel like the crowd really might not have been sure how to react for the most part, but there was a contingent there that was there to see not necessarily the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, but to see, Fox News correspondent Tyrus. And that's what's wild to me. Like, there was literally an elderly couple on night one of the pay-per-view that were entering before I entered, and they said, is Tyrus wrestling tonight? And they said, no, he'll be here tomorrow night. They said, okay, well, we got tickets for tomorrow night, too. So there were certainly, it was a crowd there to see one Brodish Clay, one Funkasaurus, one G-Rilla, one Tyrus. So, yeah, I mean, and look, politics aside, he's not a good wrestler. And I don't know when he's been a good wrestler, you know? Like, I'm not a fan, right? I preface this by saying I'm a huge NWA fan, and I've been screaming for months to take the belt off this guy. If we're gonna just look at Tyrus's career in the NWA, forget what he did in the WWE, which wasn't a whole lot. Forget what he did in Impact, which wasn't a whole lot. I don't think he's ever held a major title, you know? He's not okay. You saw when he hit the ropes and jumped on EC3. Yeah. Yeah. Kane, so they didn't do any kind of tribute on Saturday. They did a little memorial to both Really was all the fallen wrestlers. There was a huge reaction, of course, for Bray Wyatt passing away. That was, again, that one hurt so much because that one hurts a lot because he was so young and it was kind of out of the blue. And then you hear it was COVID related and heart issues, and it really sucked to hear about that. But there was a huge reaction for Terry Funk. But there's been a lot of wrestlers we lost. Jason Strife, who meant a lot out in this area as well. I know he had a promotion, I think, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, but there's been a lot of wrestlers who have passed away. Kane, I see you said he died in his sleep. Yes, I read the same thing. I guess he was supposed to be on a external defibrillator, and he wasn't. So, but even still, it's very sad. I have a little bit of info on the TV tapings. We don't live here. If you're gonna go, going in your sleep is certainly maybe the best. You know, when I was young, I was like, no, you have to go out with, like, a hero. But no, I think I'm ready to go when it's time for me to go. If they just want to get me in my sleep, that'd be all right. The tapings, what do you want to know? I'm not going to give out spoilers, but if you want to ask me questions, and I'll give you the answers the best I can. I don't know if there's going to be a taping to, or I don't, excuse me, I don't know if there's going to be a show today. I know they're taping today. Kane and Undertaker, definitely terrified a lot of people in the 90s. And now Kane terrifies people with his political agendas. Anyone new? Yes and no. I mean, no game changers, right? Nobody new was... nobody new would be... Let me say that again. There was nobody new at the tapings who will be difference makers. Kane, he's not... Kane Evans. No, he's not running for president yet, but he certainly, I think he's like the governor of a smaller city in Tennessee. Excuse me. Are the country gentlemen gone? No, they might not be teaming a whole lot this season. I don't know how many episodes they filmed last night. It wasn't a very long night of tapings, but, trying to think of his name real quick. All of a sudden, AJ Kazana wrestled against Jack Stain. It was a fun match, really good match actually. You forget how big Kazana is, but you put him in the ring with a guy like Jack Stain, who's also big, and it's a difference maker. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with SmackDown. I don't have any answers for you there. But yeah, as far as we don't live here, as far as the country gentlemen, they lost the tag titles at the pay-per-view, obviously. If you don't know, sorry for the spoilers. But I think they might be putting the tag team to rest for a little bit. Yeah, Kane, I did hear about that as well, which I think is great. I hope they kind of produced a little bit more merch for Bray's family, because I mean he's got some young kids too. Death is always a tragedy. That's I always say that, and I don't have to like you to think it's a sad thing that you're gone. And not that I don't like Bray Wyatt. He's from everything I hear, he was a wonderful human being. But like he was so young, and his kids are young, and that's what gets me. I have three children. Two of them are under the age of, well, I guess 10 and 8. So, like, if something were to happen to me, which, you know, we don't get to predict when we go, we just go. If something were to happen to me, I know that they would be devastated, and I know that would hurt my family, not just from me not being there, but also because not being able to provide for my family. So I think it'd be really, really rough for my family if I pass away. Get your life insurance policies, guys. You know, if you got kids, make sure you do some estate planning, because nobody gets to predict when we go. We just go. Chris says he was going to bring back White Rabbit, well, planned on bringing it back. I don't really know what was going to happen with that. I know, like, there was a lot of ideas that never materialized, and it's a bummer. You know, it's a real bummer. And you know, again, my big thing is more about his family, but as fans, like, oh man, what the guy was so creative. What could we have gotten from him? What would we have seen? And yeah, the Fiend. I mean, you just don't know what you would have got with the Fiend, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Real quick, I want to see, are we going to have a wrestling show tonight? If they've announced it yet. Normally, you can watch the NWA programming at youtube.com/the NWA. I'm not a WWE fan, but Wyatt was definitely creative in his career. A little too dark for me. Yeah, you know, I'm not, again, I'm not a huge WWE fan either. I kind of follow the product, but I don't watch every Monday night, every, you know, Friday night. But he was certainly a presence. And I mean, I was at a Raw taping years ago, and when he came out with the light, and everyone just went nuts, right? Everyone went nuts, and you saw everyone with their cell phones up in the air, waving them to the music, and it was very melodic and creepy, and so perfect for the character. And the fact that the fans bought into it so hard made it very, very cool. Kane brings up Miz doing a good LA Knight impression. Yeah. I've said this before on my podcast, but LA Knight, although trained out in the Midwest initially, more or less got discovered here in California. LA Knight, who used to wrestle under the name Sean Ricker, which I believe is his real name, used to team with Brian Cage for championship wrestling from Hollywood under the tutelage of Percy Pringle III. The significance of that is I've been watching his career for almost 15 years now. Kane, yes, my podcast is on Spotify. It's the Alliance blog. That's the Alliance, like you see on my hat. I guess it's backwards on my hat. The Alliance blog, B-L-O-G. And L.A. Knight, who used to wrestle with Sean Ricker, was so good then. And this was back when Championship Wrestling from Hollywood was associated with the NWA. He was their Heritage Champion for just a few weeks before moving on to the WWE. He had a short run in NXT initially under the name Eli, or I guess, what'd they call him? Something silly like Slate Randall. Yeah, Slate Randall, I think is what they called him. After he left the WWE the first time, then he would go work for Impact for a while. Had a lot of success in Impact. I even believe he was the Impact World Champion at some point. Then he left Impact and came to the NWA, where he won the tag team titles with James Storm. And from all accounts, Billy Corgan was positioning him to have a run for the World's Heavyweight Championship. And that would have been amazing because I think he was a great promo guy, and the world champion at the time was Nick Aldis, and Nick Aldis was a great promo as well. So I just imagine the promos between Aldis and LA Knight would have been money. Kane says, only WrestleMania I hated was Sting versus Triple H. Sting should have won that. Agreed, man. They botched Sting completely in the WWE. His whole entire run there was, why would you even bring in that guy to do a job to Triple H? What did Triple H benefit from that? I mean, at that point, you know, the WWE can't really touch Sting. Like, even if he lost every single match, which I think he did, or at least the big ones, even if he lost every single big match in the WWE, you're not going to taint Sting's legacy, all right? He was a multi-time world champion for WCW, for Jim Crockett Promotions, for Impact Wrestling. He still wrestles at a pretty high level considering he's like 64 years old. The WWE wasn't going to do anything to tarnish Sting's legacy, but it would have been nice if they would have given him a better run. You know, he should have. It would have been nice to see, not necessarily win the world title, but I'd rather seen Sting versus The Undertaker than Sting versus Triple H. What sense does that make? What did Triple H do to deserve that title match or that big marquee matchup? You know, you have an icon from the other company wrestling an icon from this company, and that means something. Triple H, although he will go down as one of the greatest world champions of all time for the WWE, it didn't matter. Triple H and Sting didn't matter. Kane, you were watching him when he was in the Wolfpack. Wow. I was a teenager then. I didn't like Sting in the Wolfpack. The whole way he was built up before that, I'm sure you've seen videos years later. He was the face of WCW. He was the franchise. They even called him that. And all the wrestling the wrestlers turned on him because the NWO presented a fake Sting. And so he went rogue, and then he became pretty much the Crow. DCW Creations. Do I have WWE figures? I have a few. I'm not a big figure guy. Normally, when I do my show, I'm at home, not in Nashville, Tennessee, and I have a nice little spot where I do my podcast, and I have actual WWE figures. I have an AJ Styles from when he was in WCW, a Ken Shamrock, a Dan the Beast Severin. There's a theme going here. Then I also have some of the other like deals that they had, like the He-Man WWE figures. I have a Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rick, I don't want to give out any spoilers, but there's nothing really game changer has happened on night one. There are pretty much everybody defends their titles. I think the continuation of the storylines from the pay-per-view will kind of continue. We have a new number one contender for the women's title. We know they did announce that there will be a pay-per-view in October from Cleveland, Ohio. It looks like it looks like a fair amount of the ladies came to Nashville as well, so we saw some pretty good women's wrestling matches. I think no formal announcements have been made, no matches have been made, but Markova versus Maxine Paler might become a thing. Rick, you should. I'm not going to be in Cleveland, Rick, but you definitely should. My name is I Love Wrestling. Been a fan for 35 years. I mean, I guess I'm pretty close to saying the same thing. I'll be 45 in November, and I've been watching wrestling since I was about 5 years old. So roughly 40 years of watching wrestling, which sounds... that just makes me really old, that's all. Yeah, so... a lot of fun things coming up for the NWA. I think this last pay-per-view was such a palate cleanse, Rick. I'm feeling really good about the direction of the NWA. Joey, I am ready. Oh, thanks for the rose, Joey. I appreciate that, man. I am very excited for tonight. I will be there tonight for the TV tapings. I'm going to be talking... I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to talk any of the talent. The people in the Discord were like kind of saying that the pay-per-view wasn't that great, Rick, and I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, I know I was there live, so I'm a little bit partial, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was one of the better pay-per-views, period. I kind of didn't really want to see all the titles change like that. I would have kept the title on Kerry if they were letting J-Cal book. I'd have kept the title on Kerry. I would not have taken the belt off of Camille, but everything else is exactly how I would have wanted it. So I had no real complaints. Also, I was kind of surprised they didn't hotshot the tag titles to Murnox, Trevor, and Mike Knox, because you know that's a great tag team. But I guess that's a, you know, you can't give away everything on one night or two nights.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.